I listened to Brent and really appreciated his devotional. I could tell he's put some time and thought and prayer into it. One of the things I've had to learn in life that's perhaps been the most difficult is to rely on the power of God and to wait. And as he talked about Joseph and how the man forgot to tell the Pharaoh, as Brent indicated, really the fellow didn't forget. God just didn't want him to remember until the right time. And God picks the time. I think that that's something we have a hard time realizing in life. God picks the time. And the song, Standing on the Promises, you've got to stand on the promises, and you've got to stand for a long time. We, when we pray, want God to do it right now. But it doesn't work that way. You know, Joseph's father, Jacob, interesting study in the Bible character. Jacob wanted it right now. And God promised him the birthright. He told Jacob's mother that there were two children in her womb, and they were striving for dominance. One of them was Jacob, and the other was Esau. And he said, the older shall serve the younger. Well, that's promised. God told her, the older shall serve the younger. Well, his mother, Rebekah, shared this with Jacob. She told Jacob that, you say this isn't recorded in the scripture that she told him. Yeah, it is, because he knew that he was going to get the birthright. So she had to tell him. Well, Jacob's problem was he didn't want to wait. And so after God told him through his mother that he was going to be the one that the older served and he would be the one that received the birthright, Jacob wouldn't leave well enough alone. Jacob said, I'm going to help God. He didn't want to wait. Didn't want to wait for God's time. He said, I'm going to help God. So he set about to help God. And here comes poor old Esau years later. And poor old Esau staggers in from the field. He was a hunter. And Jacob and his father, Isaac, loved the pottage that was made from the different animal flesh that was brought in, and he had an inside track with his father. Well, Jacob knew that. Now, God had told his mother that the older shall serve the younger. It was settled. That's God's promise. That's it. When God says something, that's it. What we need to learn to do is wait. Jacob said, I won't wait. So when old Esau came in from the field, Jacob said, pretty hungry, huh? Words to that effect. Esau said, man, I'm dying. He said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do, in essence. He said, if you'll give me the birthright, he said, I'll let you have some of this pottage. Well, Esau said, I don't care anything about that birthright. He didn't say that, but he thought it. He said, okay, it's a deal. And so Jacob helped God. Or did he help God? Did God really need Jacob's help? Did God really want Jacob's help? No, he didn't. He'd already promised it, but Jacob said, I'm going to help him. We try to help God all the time. All of us, myself included. Well, at my age, I'm not a spring chicken anymore, and I'm going to share some things with you on that this morning because you're in the same boat I'm in. And that boat is a boat of faith. And without faith, we don't have anything. And sometimes we get ahead of God, and we try to help God when he doesn't need it. He told Jacob through Rebekah, the birthright's yours. But Jacob said, no, I've got to make sure. So he tricked Esau. He tricked Esau. He was a trickster. Now, Joseph wasn't like that. And when Jacob had a son, Joseph is a perfect picture of what a child of God ought to be like. Joseph learned to wait. His father never did. So what happened? Well, after he tricked Esau into letting him have the birthright, then that wasn't quite enough. He and his mother got together and they were going to help God again. They decided that since Isaac was old and dying, and he was about to put the blessing on one of them. That was in the patriarchal custom. The older always blessed the younger. And he always put the blessing on the son that was the firstborn, or the son that he chose to be the firstborn, whether he came out of the womb first or not. Well, they decided that they would trick Isaac. And so Rebekah, Isaac's wife, and Jacob, his son, put on animal skins so that since Isaac couldn't see, Rebecca was going to stir up some real fine porridge for him. And after having made that out of the animal ingredients, Isaac would think it was from Esau, and when he reached out and touched Jacob, he'd feel a hairy man. See, Esau means hairy, red, hairy, and Esau was a hairy man. So since Isaac couldn't see, Rebekah made the same kind of stew that Esau had been making for his father that gave him so much favor with Isaac. And she gave it to him and said, "Now here is your son, Esau. Will you bless him?" Well, Isaac reached out and laid his hands on Jacob, thinking it was Esau. Or did he? You know, I won't know until the judgment seat of Christ. I really won't. But I have a strong suspicion that he knew the difference. Can't prove it, but I have a strong suspicion. That's all. In any case, he reached out, felt the hairy, and he put his hands on Isaac. Now, Isaac put his hands on Jacob and gave Jacob the blessing. But was that all God's plan? I don't think so. God had made a statement, and Jacob was a trickster, and he just had to help God. Every one of you here, and myself included, spend a lifetime trying to help God when it's totally unnecessary. It's totally unnecessary. God doesn't need our help. God needs our submission to his life. God needs our will surrendered to his, and God means for us to stand on the promises. God said certain things in his word. Do those things, and don't try to help God. And don't try to work your own ingenuity and your own ideas in, and this would be a better plan for God. I've been your pastor here for 23 years, and one of the things I've consistently stuck to is we don't need a lot of programs in this church. We don't need a lot of extracurricular activities. What we need is the Bible taught. We need for people to understand what the promises of God are, and we need for the members and the pastor to claim those promises by living for the Lord the way we should and to wait on God to give the blessings and not to get impatient. Well, what happened? You know, God said, "Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated." And he hated Esau from the womb. Why? Before he was ever born. Because God has a tremendous advantage over us. God knows what our lives are going to be before we're ever born. And he knew that Esau had something about him that was wrong. And what he had about him that was wrong was this. Esau didn't care anything about the birthright. He didn't care anything about the blessing of God. He didn't care anything about the promises of God. And that came out quite adamantly when he sold his birthright for a bunch of lentils, beans, stew that Jacob had prepared. But God knew he would do that from the foundation of the world. He didn't hate Esau like we hate. He was disgusted with Esau because Esau didn't care anything about the promises of God. Now, what about Jacob? Well, Jacob was a trickster. He stayed mixed up half his life. He was a trickster, always tricking people, always. But he had one thing that God liked. He liked the promises of God. Well, I know you all. I've been with you a long time. You know me. You guys have made more mistakes than you can count on your little, on all your thumbs, toes, over and over again. And you've botched your lives in many cases. You've made a lot of silly errors spiritually and physically. And we're nothing but a bunch of nincompoops. It takes us a long time to realize that, and some people never come to realize it. And meantime, there is God up in heaven, overseeing and watching over all of us, and we're down here running around like a bunch of stupid mice in circles, and God's just watching us, trying to help us. Jacob could have claimed that promise if he just hadn't done anything, and God would have worked it all out his way, but Jacob was a trickster. God had to teach Jacob a lesson. So what happened? Well, man, when Esau found out what Jacob had done, he said, "I'm going to get that booger." And Rebekah packed him up, and he headed north. He headed north up to Uncle Laban's, where his great forefather Abraham had come from, back up in Haran, in that area, up in northern Mesopotamia. What happened to Jacob? Man, you talk about a man getting humbled. You talk about a man getting tore up. You talk about a man being worked on by God. Jacob got worked on by God. And I mean, he got worked on by a mighty way. What'd God do? He put him in with another trickster. He put him in with Laban. He put him in with somebody that had just as much guile as he had and was just as cunning as he had. And Jacob had nothing but trouble. He had nothing but trouble. You all know what he went through if you've studied the scriptures. Laban was always trying to trick Jacob. He made all kind of mistakes, Jacob did. And you know what Laban did to him? Laban slipped in another woman. He had worked 7 years, I believe, quite a while, so he could have Rachel. He loved Rachel. He was madly in love with her, Laban's daughter. He wanted her. So what happened? Well, what did he do to his father, Isaac? He tricked him, didn't he? Dressed up in the animal skin so his father couldn't see, could he? And what did he do? He tricked his father Isaac into believing he was someone else. Well, what did Laban do to Jacob? He slipped Leah in on him, and Jacob married her under a veil, thinking it was Rachel. He got paid back, didn't he? And what happened after 7 more years? He finally got Rachel. And then what happened after that? After that man had gone through years and years of hard labor, Laban was about to cheat him again. And finally, Jacob woke up and he headed for home. He headed for home. He was going back home, which is where he should have stayed in the first place. You say, you don't know that. Listen, God made him a promise. He didn't have to go through all that. And a lot of times, churches and people, individuals, don't understand the power of God. They won't operate on the power of God. And I've watched some of you here. Some of you don't understand me. I operate on the power of God. I try to. I've learned some lessons. I've been humbled. I've been stomped. I've been kicked. I've had the rug yanked out from under me. I know what it's like to be humbled. And I've got a lot more to learn about it. So what happened to poor old Jacob? All his life he'd operated as a trickster. All his life he'd try to help God. All his life. God made him some promises. But he simply would not rely on God's strength. He relied on his own strength over and over and over and over and over again. So have I. I've relied on my own strength for years. I relied on my own strength for a long time when I came here as your pastor. I don't rely on it much anymore. Oh, I still haven't got all the Jacob out of me, but some of you have still got a lot of Jacob left in you. And you've just got to help God. And whenever something comes up in the church, you've got to help God do something rather than just relying on God to take care of it. I've watched you. I don't say anything to you because some of your feelings you wear on your shirt sleeve, and if I said anything, you'd leave the church and get mad. You haven't grown up. You haven't matured. So I have to keep it within myself and watch you while you flounder, trying to learn the lessons that I'm learning. And some of you are so mule-headed you never have learned who your God is. In any case, what finally happened? Jacob headed back, and all of a sudden, he gets word. Here comes Esau. And Esau's coming up from the south to meet him, and he's got a great, great army. For the first time in his life, Jacob's run into something he can't trick his way out of. He's run into something that he can't beat. He's run into something that he can't manipulate. And he's face to face with Esau that he betrayed, and he knew he betrayed him. And all of his manipulations, all of his trickery, all of his cunning, all of his expertise counts for nothing. He's standing there on the other side of the Jordan. He's getting ready to cross and go home. And here Esau is coming up from the homeland that he left so many years before with this great army. And Jacob is scared down to the roots of his soul. And for the first time in his life, he's got a problem that he can't solve. Well, what happened that night? They're camped on the other side of the Jordan, getting ready to come across into what we call Israel today. He's going back, and he's going to have to face Esau and this army, and he's afraid he and his whole family and everybody's going to be killed, and he doesn't have any tricks in his bag. He's run out of tricks. He's run out of carnal tricks. What did the Lord tell Peter after Peter learned all those lessons all of his life? He said, Peter, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and carriest thyself whatsoever thou wouldest. When thou art old, another shall gird thee and carry thee whether thou wouldest not. It's a hard lesson. God knows I've had a hard time learning it, and I'm still learning it. But I've wrestled with God. And I finally figured out who I am. And I figured out who he is. And I figured out that all my manipulations and all my cleverness can't handle it. I rest in the power of God. And when problems come up in this church, I pray about it. And I trust God. And I've discovered God knows what he's doing and I don't. And I've discovered that God works on your heart just like he works on mine. And if there's a problem and I'm wrong, God will change my heart. And if there's a problem and you're wrong, I trust in God to change your heart. And I don't try to manipulate or push anymore. I just rest. Well, here Jacob is. He's on the other side of Jordan. And for the first time in his life, the trickster has got a problem. He's got to rely on God. What'd God do? All his life, Jacob's tried to help God. All of a sudden, the angel of the Lord shows up. And there he is. And Jacob wrestles with an angel. The angel was a manifestation of Christ before his birth. He wrestled with God in the form of an angelic being. And what happened? Jacob wrestled and wrestled and wrestled. Could the angel have taken Jacob? Why, the angel could have killed him instantly. God could have taken his life any time. Well, what did God do? He let Jacob fight. And God could have whipped him any instant. But he let Jacob keep on fighting. And Jacob just wouldn't give up. So finally, the angel touched him in the thigh, right here. He touched him here. And it hurt Jacob. And he was crippled. And he couldn't wrestle anymore. So what finally happened? Something it had taken Jacob all those years to learn. He was whipped. Jacob was whipped. And God had whipped him. And Jacob reached out and he grabbed a hold of God. He grabbed him and held him. Oh, God could have broken loose. God could have killed him at any time. But Jacob wouldn't let him go. And Jacob said, no, I won't let you go. And he held on to the Lord. That's what he should have done from the very beginning. That's what I should have done from the very beginning when God called me to preach, is reach out and hold on to the Lord as the only source of my strength, the only thing that keeps me going, the only thing that means anything in life. I should have relied on God as a young minister, and I didn't. There were lots of things that I should have done when I pastored this church, and I didn't. I tried to help God. God forgive me. I didn't know any better. God forgave Jacob. He didn't know any better. But Jacob reached out and he held on to God. That's the lesson that God wants all of us to learn. You hold on to me. You hold on to me and my promises and everything will be all right. And Jacob said, I won't let you go until you bless me. I won't let you go. And God blessed him. And he said, thou shalt no longer be called Jacob. Trickster. He said, you're not a trickster anymore, Jacob. You've learned a lesson. He said, thou shalt no longer be called Jacob, but thou shalt be called Israel, a prince. And Jacob was made a prince by God for only one reason. After all those years of God putting him through all those trials, God putting him through all of that terror and horror, Jacob's heart was humbled. He was beaten. And he just learned to rely on God. That's what he should have learned from the beginning. That's what I should have learned. It's taken me all these years to learn it, and I'm still learning. Now, all of you sitting here are just like I am. You were saved by the same Savior. You know the same God. Quit wrestling with him. Quit trying to help him. Just learn to rely on him and trust him, and when he makes a promise in his word, claim it. Act on it. Operate on it. Do what it says. Be faithful. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Get your life in order in God's church and make your life count for something. Well, what happened? Well, here comes Jacob, the man now called Israel, across into Israel. He's learned to rely on the power of God. He's going across that river, and he knows he's going to be killed on the other side. But he says, I'm going to trust God. He goes across. And there he is. And he's face to face with Esau. And Esau grabs him and hugs him and loves him. And who did all that? God. He would have done it from the beginning. But Jacob was a trickster. He was hard-headed as a mule. That's what a lot of us are like. That's what I've been like all my life. I was born a Jacob. It's taken God a lot of time, a long time to work on me. And he's still working on me. And I need a lot of changes in my life and in my heart. But I've learned a lesson. So what happened? He came across, and God made him a prince. Well, do you know what Jacob said when later on he was brought before the Pharaoh after his son Joseph brought him into Egypt? I think he said something like, many and evil have been the days of my life. He said, I've had a rough life. He said, I've had a tough time. And he did. Why did he have a tough time? Because he wouldn't learn to rely on God. That's why you have tough times in life. That's why I have a tough time. You've got to learn to put God first. And if you don't learn to put God first, and you put other things first, you haven't learned the lesson. And maybe a lot of the reasons for the problems in your lives and all the troubles and things that you have is because you don't put God first. You know what Israel did after that? He put God first. For the rest of his life, he put God first. And he never was the same again. He learned his lesson. Have you learned your lesson? Have you wrestled with God? And have you lost? And have you learned to hold on to him? And have you learned what life's all about? Are you still fighting against the pricks and thorns? Are you still having a rough time in life? Maybe it's because you're still trying to help God. You're still trying to find your own way and improve on what God said. God made a plan for every one of you. He had a plan for Jacob in his life. God's plan was that every man be saved. And God's plan was that every man and woman that was saved unite with a local church and work in it. And God's plan for every local New Testament church member was that he grow in grace as a newborn babe, experiencing the graciousness of the Lord. That's God's will for your life. Why do you fight it? You say, I'm not fighting it. Yes, you're fighting it. You're trying to improve on God's plan. And you're fighting it. I gave up, and I'm still giving up. I finally realized that God knows what he's doing, and I don't. Paul was a man who was saved, then baptized in the proper way, and then he served God. Paul's no different from anyone else. That's what God wants from all of us. Well, what did God do eventually for Jacob? He gave him a son that was nothing like him. I mean, absolutely nothing like him. He gave him Joseph. Joseph never fought against God. Joseph was everything that Jacob wasn't. Do you think it's possible that perhaps since he was Jacob's favorite son, Joseph was his favorite son, the man Israel, whom God named Israel from Jacob? Do you think it's possible that the reason that Joseph was Jacob's favorite son was because he saw in Joseph all the things of his youth that he should have been and wasn't? I think so. You see, Joseph is a definite indicator that you don't have to go through what Jacob did to learn who God is. You say, well, Joseph suffered all kind of things in his life. Yes, but he learned to wait. Do you think it's possible that Jacob may have told him about his experiences with God? Do you think that it's possible that God may have used this man Israel to teach that son, son, don't go through the things I went through. Trust God and wait on God. Do you think it's possible? I'm just asking. Whatever the case may be, Joseph was nothing like his father in his character and attitude. From the very beginning, Joseph simply waited on God. God gave him a dream and told him that one day his father, his mothers, and his brothers would bow down before him in obedience. What happened? It was fulfilled. When? When many years later they were brought into Egypt. And being brought into Egypt, they bowed down because Joseph was second in command to Pharaoh. Joseph waited. And Joseph was faithful where he was while he waited. Joseph was sold by his 11 brothers because he was his father's favorite. Did Joseph get mad at them? Did he hate them? Did he despise them? Did he turn on them? No. What did he do? Did he sit in a dungeon and bewail himself and say, this isn't right. This isn't fair. I've believed in God. I've trusted God. I've obeyed God. I've done what God wanted. And here I am, sitting in a dungeon. It isn't fair. No. He worked hard. The jailer liked him. He spent time in serving God. Didn't blame God. He got in that prison. He was sold in there. Why? Because of a woman that tempted him. And Joseph wouldn't give in. Potiphar's wife tempted him. He was sold by the Midianites, or Midians, if I remember correctly. I may not have that just right, because I'm just kind of reciting all this from memory, and I don't really know why, except when Brent gave the devotional this morning, it kind of triggered all this in my mind. You say, well, Brother McElmurray, I never heard you preach that before. No, I haven't preached this before. I haven't talked about it much. Why? Because some of you never have learned to be faithful to God. You never have learned to wait on God. And if I give you too much meat, you'll choke on it. That's why I've never talked too much about it. But I'm just being open and friendly. I don't even have an overhead projector going. I'm just telling you the truth about life as I've learned it and as I've seen it in the scriptures. So Joseph went and was sold into slavery by 11 brothers. Now wait a minute. Just a cotton-picking minute. This is the man who in a dream God revealed that one day his father and his mother and his brothers would bow down before him. And here he is, sold by these 11 brethren, taken into Egypt and sold as a slave to Potiphar. Oh my goodness, throw up your hands and quit and start trying to help God. No, Joseph was faithful where he was. Now why am I telling you all this? You need to be faithful where you are. You live right here in the Dardanelle area. If you're a child of God, you need to be faithful in God's church. You need to quit reasoning and planning and thinking about everything else in life, and you need to get your heart and your life right here in God's church where it belongs. You need to be faithful while you're waiting for the promises of God. You see, God has promised you a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. God has promised you some marvelous, wonderful things awaiting you in heaven. You need to wake up and learn to be faithful where you are and wait for God to give you the blessing in heaven. And some of you aren't doing that. You say, well, you're getting on to us. No, by the grace of God and Jesus Christ, because I love you, I'm trying to help you and tell you the truth. And I'm showing it to you in Scripture and people's lives, because the Old Testament was given to us for examples. So what happened? Well, Joseph was an excellent servant to Potiphar. He did everything he was supposed to do. And pretty soon Potiphar had a wicked wife. And the wicked wife looked upon Joseph, and he was fair. He must have been a nice-looking young man. And she said, I think I'll have some of that. And so she started tempting Joseph. Well, most men would have given in. After all, sold into slavery, God made a promise to me that he didn't keep, and here I am in slavery, I might as well grab for all the gusto the first time around. And every man that ever has had any sexual attraction isn't really much of a man. And there he was, tempted, and why not go to bed with her? After all, that would give him more favor, and Potiphar didn't have to know, and he could have him some sex on the side and maybe finally enjoy the good life. But Joseph said no. Why? Because he wasn't like his father, in that his father fought against God. Joseph waited. Joseph said, God made me a promise and I'm going to be faithful to God. If Joseph was faithful to God in the place where he was, every one of us can be faithful to God in this place right here. And we're going to be accountable to God for it. So what happened after that? Well, he got thrown into prison. Well, this is the final straw, surely. Here's the man that God promised he would one day make. In a high position where his brothers and father and mother would be in obedience to him. They'd bow down before him in obeisance before him. And here he is in a prison in Egypt. And his father doesn't even know he's alive. His brothers told the father he was killed by a wild animal. So why not give up? He went to work in that prison. He impressed the jailers, the keepers in prison. And they liked him. He was straightforward. He was honest. Joseph was everything in life that his father hadn't been in his early life. Because he was in submission to God, and God, he never tried to help God. Finally, God sent a baker and a cupbearer. And you heard the devotional this morning. And there they are in prison. They have dreams. Joseph interprets the dream. One of them gets out and goes back, and here's the only time Joseph perhaps ever tried to help God. And I'm not even sure this is classified. It can be classified as that. He said, remember me to the Pharaoh. Well, he gets out. What is it, 2 years, Brent? 2 years go by. He didn't remember it. Well, now, if there ever was an occasion for a man to give up, it's there. Here he's done this thing. God's given him this ability to interpret dreams. He's interpreted this dream. Well, what good is God to me if after I interpret the dream, God doesn't do something with it? Did Joseph get mad? No. He just waited. Every one of you and the speaker need to learn to wait on God. We're so anxious to get things done for God, sometimes in what this church plans to do and doesn't plan to do, that we rush right in and we've got to help God get this thing done, and we've got to do it our way, and we don't even pray about it. We just rush in and do it, and we don't pray about it. We don't ever think about it. I'm tired of having the prayer left up to me. The rest of it, you need to pray about some of this stuff before you rush into it. In any case, 2 years later, when God gets ready, he causes the man to remember. And here comes Joseph. For the rest of his life, it was blessed. But he had to wait a long time, didn't he? You got a lot of problems and troubles in your lives. You got a lot of trials. You got a lot of tribulations. Nothing seemed to be going right. You ever think maybe it's one of two things, and both of them end up in the same effect? You need to learn from it. You need to learn that there's trial and testing in every kind of life. When you're fighting against God, you're going to get it, so it can humble you. And when you're in submission to God, you're going to get it so it can teach you patience. In any case, the trials and tribulations of this life are quite real. But God indicated that we should stand. And having done all else, to stand. Stand on what? The promises of God. And God elevated Joseph. And he became the second in command of the Pharaoh of all Egypt. You know the story of what happened. Some of you boys back there, Russ, Mike, you know, a lot of times in our Bible school classes, we teach about Joseph, we teach about Jacob, we teach about Abraham, we teach about Noah, we fill in squares on a block. And the Sunday school teachers back there, sometimes you guys, not necessarily Russell and Michael, but all the kids in general, give them fits. That's just natural. But one day, all that comes to play. Now, Russell, you and Michael, if they gave you a little test back there and wanted about Joseph and about Jacob. See, you know all that stuff, don't you? You know about Joseph's coat of many colors, don't you? You know about those things we've been discussing. But now what's happening to you? You're learning why God did it. And you're learning the things of life. A little precept here, a little precept there, a point there, and that's what it's all about. You learn when you grow up about these Bible characters. And then when God thinks you're old enough, he springs it on you and says, now, look in your own life. See those things in your own life that are like Jacob. See those things in your own life that ought to be like Joseph and aren't. So after Brent gave that devotional, it touched my heart. Made me stop and think about a lot of things. The needs in my life are not any different from yours. Every one of you need God. You need God desperately. What you need to do is reach out and grab a hold of him and say, Lord, I won't let you go till you bless me. But you can't reach out and grab a hold of him unless you're in his presence. And I'm going to tell you that after God saves you, he wants you in one of his churches. Why? Because the scripture says in Ephesians 2:22, in whom ye are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. And his Spirit in presence is in the midst of every local New Testament church that's still practicing and preaching what he taught. And this is where you reach out and grab God and say, I won't let you go until you bless me. And he'll bless you. Because this is where you grab him. This is where you fellowship with him. This is where you have a close spiritual relationship with him. Thank God that salvation is based upon repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God that salvation is by grace through faith. And thank God you don't have to be a member of one of the Lord's churches to be saved. But I thank God that I've learned a lesson. After you get saved, God says, now trust me. And then after all the fighting is over, whether it's passive or active, one day you finally wake up, hopefully. And you reach out and you grab God and you say, God, I want to be where your Spirit is and I want the fellowship with you that you can give me. Well, finally, Jacob learned the lesson. He reached out and grabbed God and said, I won't let you go till you bless me. He'd been whipped. And all the rest of his life he limped. And it was a reminder. It was a reminder of every time he limped. He leaned on his staff when he gave the final blessing. It was a reminder of the hard lesson he had to learn in life because he wouldn't submit to God. God tries to touch every one of your lives. There's a crippling experience that comes in a child of God's life that won't submit to Him. You not only need to be saved, but you need to be in the place where you can grab God, and you need to learn the lessons of the Old Testament. None of us realize how much we really need Christ and how much we need to reach out and grab His blessing. Standing on the promises, that's what it's all about. Thank you for that devotional, Brent. I really appreciate that. And that's the first bell, so we'll quit on that.